You're very welcome. Thank you for coming. We do bid you welcome in the Lord's name. Our first hymn this morning is a well-known one. It's 663. If you use the book, it'll be in the overhead, of course. Lord, the light of your love is shining in the midst of the darkness shining. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us. He is the light of the world. There's maybe people here still in darkness. Here's the light of life. Let's stand and sing. 663. Thanks to the musicians this morning. Eternal God, in honesty and in faith, we bow in your presence, so aware of our own sinfulness and our own need, but also so aware of your love and your mercy and your grace. Father, we thank you for loving us so much. So much that you sent your Son to die for us. What an amazing provision. Father, we thank you that the work of Calvary is not just an event of history, but it's still relevant to all who repent and trust. It is powerful enough to cleanse us and make us new creatures in Christ. Father, we thank you for Children's Day. We thank you for Youth Sunday. We thank you for our Sunday school, for the superintendent, for the teachers. We thank you for another year of faithful ministry. Father, we thank you for the day they had yesterday at the excursion, and we thank you that all came back safely. Father, we thank you for each child and young person. We thank you for the parents who faithfully send them Sunday by Sunday. And our Father, we do thank you for that work and ministry. We pray that you will bless Pastor Cameron today and the choir today. Father, we pray that you help the choir to sing out loud and clear. And Father, this week in our province, we think of the G8 conference in Enniskillen. Father, we think of these 8 world leaders. We pray that you'll give wisdom, that they will be able to find a way to create wealth that is ethical and fair, that the world might be more ably balanced. Father, we pray for the 5-day clubs this week. We pray for good weather. We ask that you'll bless that effort. Father, we pray for our missionary family across the world today. We pray for them. And Father, we ask that you will bless in the service. We thank you that we can tell others of the message of the Lord Jesus. And Father, we pray that you will give us ears to hear and hearts to understand. Father, we pray for every church in our province that will declare your truth today. We're not so concerned about what banner it goes under, but we ask that you will bless your word, that you will give your truth power, and that it will reach hearts of men and women. Grant it for Christ's sake. Amen. Boys and girls, now is your moment. And we are starting off with verses of Scripture. Isn't that appropriate that we're starting off with God's Word? And we're going to have Lucy Greer, Ben Miller, Leah Cotton, and Rachel McFetridge. Thank you.
For all, and when we set before, for all have the rank of the glory of God.
The Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life."
Bible says in Psalm 100 verse 1 to 5, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord is good, as he that hath made us know we ourselves. We are God's people and the sheep of his pastures, and are into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and the truth endureth to all generations."
The Bible says in Psalm 103, verses 1 to 5, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He forgiveth all our iniquities, he healeth all our diseases. He redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. He satisfied thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle."
I'd love to test the adults to see if any of them would like to come up and quote the verses, huh? Their memory's not so good, you see. And whenever you learn verses when you're young, it sticks in there and you remember it. Now we're going to have the Sunday school choir, and they're going to introduce their own pieces. So I'm going to let them come and introduce themselves to you.
O Lord, thou art my God, I will exalt thee, I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things, thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth.
Fishes of sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over every living thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created him man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth.
Thank you.
Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 and 9, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him."
On the way to school and home with me again, helping with my homework, with my valet. Jesus is a real friend every single day. I do, do, love him more and more. I do, do, in the heart of God. I do, do, what is that to say? Jesus is the Savior, Lord of everything.
Says in Psalm 113, verses 1 to 5, "Praise ye the Lord, praise we servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high?"
Tremendous. Thank you so much. Now the main choir is going to sit down and the junior choir is going to stay and they're going to sing two pieces. Weren't those lovely pieces? Do you like that one? No matter how big I am, no matter how small I am, I can never look odd. The first time I heard it, I thought it said, can never look old. And I thought, boy, that's wonderful. But can never look odd, because God fashions us and we're made in His image. Tremendous. Now the junior choir are really, really special. And they just thrill our hearts. And they're going to sing two pieces. One is called Worship No God. And the other one is called I Can't Stop Growing. The junior choir.
Worship no God, no God but me. Exodus 20:13. Worship no God, no God but me.
That's my problem. I can't stop growing day by day. Now we're going to have some more verses. We're having Rachel Clinton, Harriet McAllister, Zara Jane Strange, and Shelley Anderson. Thank you.
The Bible says in Psalm 34:1-4, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continue be in my mouth. My soul shall make a boast in the Lord, the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears.
The Bible says in Psalm 119:1-16, Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that thy ways are directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with a righteousness of heart when I shall observe thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes, overshake me not utterly. Wherefore shall I run my cleansest way by taking heed thereto according to thy word? With my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hidden in heart, so that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts. I will have respect unto all thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word.
The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 to 13, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, and become a sounding brass or a tingling cymbal, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, and have not charity, am nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, and profit me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind, charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, it's not puffed up, rejoiceth not, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, it shall fail. Whether there be tongues, it shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know it in part, and prophecy in part. For now which is imperfect is come, and that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, understood as a child, I thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. Now I pledge faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity.
God's way of salvation. All are sinners. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Results of sin. Romans 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God's solution. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Only through Jesus. John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. What do we do? Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Believe and receive, John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Jesus is reading Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him, and he with me.
Not tremendous. We could have, you maybe have heard future Sunday school teachers, future youth leaders, future missionaries and future pastors starting learning the Word of God in Sunday school. We're going to sing a hymn now. If you use the book, it's 402, and it's There Will Never Be a Sweeter Story, Story of the Savior's Love Divine.
Thank you.
thrilled to have as our guest speaker all today, Pastor Philip Cameron. He's the pastor of the Baptist Church in Kilray. He's already been on one occasion, I think, to speak at our holiday, at our Good News Club, and we enjoyed that. And Pastor Cameron will speak to us. And I'm hoping I'll discover how long he's staying for. And then after that, brother, if you just hand back to me.
Thank you for having me. Thanks for the invitation. And thanks for the warm welcome I've got since I arrived. Lovely to be here. But I'm here because I love telling boys and girls about Jesus. And that's why I'm here. I love telling adults as well about Jesus, but I really love telling boys and girls about my lovely Saviour. And that's what we're going to learn about today, about the Lord Jesus and about us, about God and about His Word. So, although this is not an overnight bag, I don't have many clothes in here. There's one garment in here, but I've brought a lot of things along, and I want you to work out as I show you them what they have in common. There's a theme. I'm going to begin with the first one. What's that? A bottle of water. Yes, a big container of water. That's the first one. The next one is... any ideas? A hanky. Well, tell me this. Is anybody having anybody, any visitors for dinner today? Any visitors coming to your house? Yes. Who's coming to your house? Is your mummy here? Would she be easy affronted? Who's coming to dinner?
Granny.
Your granny. Oh, that's lovely. Well, maybe if your granny comes to dinner, you might see one of these come out. What would it be? A napkin. Good man. There's a napkin. What else have we? Right. Sandwiches. Does anybody take a lunch to school? Oh, nearly everybody. What's your favourite sandwich? Bananas and brown sauce? No. What's yours? Ham. Oh, I'm sure most people like ham sandwiches. Well, these are cheese sandwiches. Anybody like cheese? Oh, I do. I love cheese. Cheese sandwiches. Then, well, I don't think I could stay very long if this was the only garment I brought along with me. It's a young man's garment, so it mustn't be mine. But anyhow, that's a hoodie, and I brought that. And the last thing I've brought along is a bag of flour. Right. Well now, have you been thinking, as I've shown you these things, have you been thinking what they have in common? They're all to be found in the Bible. Of course, I brought the 21st century edition. I brought the modern day ones. Anybody any ideas what they have in common? No. I think I'll have to tell you, and then you'll see the whole picture coming together. In the Bible, they're all things that were left behind. They're all things that were left behind. Now, of course, this is the modern day version, but I'm going to tell you about a story that happened. We hear about it in John chapter 4. And it's when the Lord Jesus Christ went to a place called Samaria. And he went there in the middle of the day. It was really hot and he was thirsty. But there was somebody else there and she came to a well to get some water. Who has heard the story of the woman at the well? I thought you would. I thought people in Bali would know that story. And the lady came along and she really, really, really wanted something. She wanted to get water that day. So did the Lord Jesus. But Jesus is very wise, and you know, God sees right into our hearts. I'm looking at you, and you all look really, really nice today. You're all dressed really, really well. You all look as though you belong in church. But I can't see if you belong to Jesus. But Jesus can see these things, and he looks into our hearts. And he looked at the woman's heart that day, and he realized that she really, really wanted something. But you know where she went for it? She tried to get it by disobeying God. And that is sin. And then whenever she did that, she ended up unhappy again. So she did it another time. And then she ended up really unhappy again. Now you'd think when you would disobey God and you would try to get pleasure in things that are against His word and you became really unhappy that you wouldn't do it again, but she did it another time. In fact, she did it 5 times and Jesus knew. And Jesus said to her, I know that you're looking for something more than a drink of water. And He says, I can give you what you need. And you know, boys and girls, we have something in us that is looking to be filled. We're not talking just about a physical drink or a physical meal. There's something in us, in our heart. And it's always looking to be filled and to be fed. But sadly, as boys and girls grow up, we can start to feed on things that are against the Word of God. And it always ends up the same. It leaves you empty and unhappy. And whenever Jesus said, I can give you living water and you'll never have that old thirst again because you'll have me. That she went away so happy, she took Jesus as her Savior and she told others. And she was so happy about it that she left her water pot behind at the well. Beside that, we have a napkin. And we've just discovered, what's your name, Pet? Lucy's going to have a napkin on her table today at dinner. In Jesus' day, they used napkins as well. Did you know that? Whenever Jesus was here on earth, they used napkins. They would have had a wonderful meal. And we read of Jesus having meals. We read of Him at a wedding reception. We read of Him having a feast in Matthew's house. We read of Him eating and feasting at Bethany. And whenever the meal was ended, it was a sign that the person who was the guest had had enough when he folded the napkin nicely and set it on the table folded. That was a sign he had finished. He had had enough. He was satisfied. He could eat no more. And he was happy with the people who had made him the meal. It was finished. Of course, we also read of a folded napkin in the Bible when Jesus rose from the dead. And whenever they looked into the tomb where Jesus was, they found the napkin folded by itself. And Jesus left it behind. And that linen napkin spoke not only about Jesus coming to life, but in order to come to life, He had to first of all die. Anybody know why Jesus died? Yes? He died to save us from our sins. That's exactly right. You see, God must punish sin. And we have that thirst and we're going to be driven by that thirst to go out and to sin. And we all have. I believe you quoted the verse earlier, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Big people, wee people, all of us. And something had to be done. God just doesn't push it under the carpet. So instead of punishing you and me, He punished Jesus. And Jesus was the only one who could have been punished for somebody else's sins because He's the only person who has ever lived who had no sin of His own. Isn't that wonderful? And He was willing to die for me and for you. Whenever He died, He rose again and He left behind the folded napkin. Maybe you're saying, well, hold on a wee minute, it's not very nice to think about the death of Jesus and His resurrection the way you would think of a meal. But think of what Jesus said. He described His work on the cross as a cup that He had to drink. Isn't that right? He said, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. And in the epistles we read that He tasted death for every man. But you know, boys and girls, He did it all. And it's finished. And all you have to do today is believe that what Jesus did on the cross, He did for you. Well, if you have realized that you're a sinner, you realize that you have a hungering for something, and it can only be found in Jesus, you trust what He did on the cross, you're saved. And that's wonderful. And I'm sure there are boys and girls here today who are saved. You'll not be too long saved until something happens. And that brings me to the cheese sandwiches. And maybe you're thinking to yourself, where does he find that in the Bible that cheese sandwiches were left behind? Well, we read in 1 Samuel 17 the story of David. He wasn't a king at this stage. He was still minding the sheep. And his older brothers had gone out to fight in God's armies with Saul. And they came against a big giant. Does anybody know his name? Yes. Goliath. That's right. And David was sent with bread and cheese. There's your sandwiches. And he was sent out to feed his brothers and others in the army with the bread and the cheese. But I think he's a wee bit like you and me. If we were told to stay in the cart, we would be down off it to see what this war was all about, to see all the fighting, to see all the action, and so was David. And he heard Goliath shouting all his threats, and he left behind the cheese sandwiches and went out into the battlefield. You know, boys and girls, you won't be saved very long until you'll realise that there's an enemy to be faced. And Goliath was a huge enemy. He's a giant. He was the champion. But David saw him for what he was. Now, we have a big, big enemy in this world. What's the enemy that comes against? What's his name? Yes. The devil, Satan. We have an enemy, and we're not saved very long until he comes against us and he starts to make life hard for us. We're in a battle. We are in a war. And we need to use the weapons that God gives us. And prayer's the best weapon that you could use. And the Word of God. And David went out and he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? You know what he's really saying? Who do you think you are coming against the armies of the living God? Although we have a big enemy, boys and girls, and although he's really serious, and although he's really there, he's not the Almighty. Because Jesus is. And we can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens us. But we need to come to him and realise that we need his help. So we'll not be long saved until we realise we're in a battle. Well, you're probably now catching on to the theme. And do you know of a time when a young man's garment was left behind? Any ideas? Yes. Good man. The very answer I was looking for. Joseph. You see, we're in a battle, but then also temptations come. And Joseph is the wee fella that we love to read about and tell the story of, who, even though he was tempted, he knew what to do. He was tempted, but he ran away. Just as Paul told another young man called Timothy, he said, Timothy, flee youthful lusts. Run away. Get as far away from them as possible. And you know, sadly, boys and girls, some of you may grow up like other young people have. And instead of getting as far away from the world as possible, their attitude is, how close can I go and still call myself a Christian? That's so sad. If we love him, we'll want to please him, and we'll want to run away when temptation comes. Now, Jesus was tempted. And he didn't run away. He did something else that's helpful to us. He said, it is written. And he said it three times. Now, boys and girls, how are you going to know to say to those who tempt you, it is written, if you don't have the Word of God in your heart and in your mind? Isn't it great that you're learning the Word here? Isn't it great that you have the Scriptures in your hearts and minds and memories here? Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. The young man left behind his garment, reminding us that we have a need. Jesus meets the need. When we're saved, we're in a battle, and it's not too long until we get tempted. Now, all of these things that we've taken from the Bible are things that have already happened. Joseph has died and gone. So has David. So has the woman at the well of Samaria. And the Lord Jesus has died and risen again. So all of these things have happened, but the one I'm going to come to now hasn't happened yet. Because Jesus was telling his disciples about the end of the world and about his coming again. And he said there'll be two grinding at the mill making flour. And suddenly and unexpectedly, without any warning, one will be taken and the other left. And the one that's taken will leave their work behind. They'll leave their life behind because they will go to be with Jesus. You know what Jesus is saying there? He's saying that there are two. And in this room, there are two. Oh, you're maybe saying, oh, it's boys and girls, or it's young people, or oldies like me. But when Jesus looks down, he sees those who are his and those who are not. And it divides this room and it divides our world. One will be taken, the other left. The other thing Jesus was teaching was very simple. We don't know when it'll happen. But when it does, nobody will be expecting it. Nobody. And that means, boys and girls, you and I have to be ready. Always ready. We can't sit back and think, it'll not happen today, because how can we say that? It might happen today. We must be ready, because one will be taken and the other will be left. Whenever you think of these things that were left behind, they're only objects. But imagine if somebody here was left behind. May God bless his word to all of our hearts for his name's sake.
All those things that were left behind. Thank you so much, Pastor Cameron. You come back again tonight and then you'll hear the soul choir and you'll hear Pastor Cameron again. We're turning to our closing hymn. If you use the book, it's 158. And when we're singing the last couple of verses, all the Sunday school choir will be leaving and going over to our minor hall, and the parents and grannies and grandas and aunts can pick them up there afterwards, so there's no commotion at the front. So they'll be leaving at the last, singing verses 3 and 4, and they can get picked up over in our minor hall. Thank you, Jesus. 158, we'll sing this hymn and then we'll close in prayer. hope you'll continue to pray for our Sunday school. Please pray for these young ones that are growing up. It's not an easy world. Please pray for them, that they will know the protection of God. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word to our hearts. Through the scripture readings, through the singing of the choir, and through the message. And Father, we thank you for the challenge that came. Not only the need, not only how Christ can meet the need, not only the battle that comes when we trust Christ. Father, we think of the danger if the Lord was to come back and some left behind. Father, help our young people to flee the dangers and the temptations of this life. Give them spiritual battle, those that are saved. But Father, we pray that if the Lord was to come back today, that no one here would be left behind. What a challenge. Father, we do thank you for the day of grace, and we thank you that we can come even today and put our faith and trust in thee. Father, we thank you for the boys and girls who have thrilled us this morning. Bless as we meet around the table of remembrance. And Father, bless tonight as we come to hear the salt choir sing. We pray that you will bless each heart, for we ask it in the Saviour's name. Amen.